Once again, if you have your Bibles there today, open up to Acts, the first chapter, and we're going to get into some exciting scripture here about the Holy Spirit. And this is Jesus in Acts 1 talking to the disciples, and he is getting ready to ascend to the Father. And this is 40 days. This particular scripture occurs 40 days after Jesus was crucified, after he rose from the dead. And he's talking to the disciples in Acts 1, and this account is written by Luke, the same man that wrote the book of Luke. And Jesus is giving the disciples some instructions about what is to come, because they were still in a state of confusion. They were still in a state of disbelief that he had actually been crucified, that their leader was taken from them. And so they are wondering, Jesus, what's coming next? What's happening next? And, of course, they didn't want to lose their leader. Nobody would. And they felt like there was still probably some hope for a king to be established here on this earth, maybe a kingdom of military nature or a kingdom of governmental nature. And so they were anxiously awaiting instructions from Jesus. And of course, Jesus' idea of a kingdom was one, a kingdom of the hearts. And that is his plan still for today. His millennial reign will not happen until he comes back with his saints in glory. And we don't know when that's going to be. It could be just about any day, could be even today. And yet we know that there will not be a military kingdom, there will not be a governmental kingdom except for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so it's a kingdom that resides in the hearts of men all over this earth. Well, in the first account here in Acts 1, in verse 4, it says, "And gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You heard of from me.'" And when he was saying that, Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit that he had talked to them about in John 14, 15, and 16. And I would recommend that if you are not familiar with what we've talked about the last few weeks, or maybe you're a new listener today, you go back and read John 14, 15, and 16, because that is the instruction that Jesus had for the disciples concerning the nature, the essence, and the coming and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And there's quite a few verses in those three chapters that deal directly with the Holy Spirit and what his essence and purpose would be. And so go back and read that and kind of refresh your memory, because this is what Jesus is referring to when he says, "You heard of from me." And verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And of course, we know several times John, and he's referring to John the Baptist here, we know several times John the Baptist said that there's one coming after me, whose thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And John said, "I baptized you with water, but the one who's coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." He says in Luke 3:16, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In other words, there was more to Jesus' baptism than just the dipping in the water. His baptism, including setting the person on fire and consuming them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so John had prepared people. And so Jesus is referring to that here, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so verse 6, it says, "So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?'" You see, they were anxiously awaiting some kind of a kingdom whereby they could see some kind of an earthly evidence of a strong kingdom to take over or throw off not only the yoke of the Roman Empire, but the yoke of any earthly empire. And so they wanted to rule themselves. They wanted to, you might say, exalt themselves in their own strength. And Jesus said here in verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority." And then verse 8 here is the kicker, you might say, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Okay, well, if we look at that scripture and break it down just a little bit, Jesus said, there isn't going to be a kingdom just yet. And I'm sure that was a great disappointment to them. He said, it's not for you to know times and epochs and seasons. In fact, we don't know when Jesus, even yet today, 2,000 years later, we still don't know when Jesus is coming back to establish his earthly reign. And in a way, that's a good thing, because it keeps us on our toes. It keeps us living in expectation. It keeps us, you might say, accountable to a lifestyle of righteousness. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters out there, live with the fear of God in your heart. Live with the expectation that Jesus could come back at any day. Live with the expectation that today might be your last day. And if you live that way, you're going to do some things differently. If you live with the expectation that Jesus could come back at any day, it will cause you to live with an urgency that you may not ordinarily have. And it doesn't mean that you need to run around in a panic or in an accelerated mode or do things, cut corners and that type of thing. No, it just means that with the fear of the Lord in your heart and the understanding that Jesus could come back at any day, you're going to live more of a life of righteousness. You're going to attempt to be holy, that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2:9-10, that royal priesthood, that holy nation that he calls us to be. You're going to try to live to be that type of a person. And I think that's God's will, that we live a life of righteousness and live a life of holiness. And also, those of us who have a heart for evangelism, and I think God calls all of us to have a heart for evangelism, and those who are called to have a heart for ministry, and in a sense God calls us all to have a heart for ministry also, you're going to have a sense of urgency about the evangelism and about the ministry that God has called you to. It will give you more strength, more encouragement, and more power. And when you live that life of expectancy, you know that the days are short, that the time is short. And so I would encourage you, brothers and sisters, to get that sense of urgency in your life. Don't waste time, waste your time away sitting there in front of the TV or watching movies or just doing things that has no kingdom value to it whatsoever. You know, make your time count. Make your days and your minutes count. So every time a minute goes by, you've lost it forever. And so make your minutes count. Make your days count. And make them count for the glory of God. Make them count for the kingdom. Because when you do that and get that sense of urgency, it will put an excitement in your heart, and you will begin to look at your life as a life that is a precious gift, which is really what it is. It's a very precious gift. And as you go about your daily walk, you'll have an excitement and an anticipation that God is going to use you in a very special way, and he certainly will if you just give him the opportunity. Well, back to verse 8 again, but you shall receive power. This word power means dynamite, dunamis. I'm going to read from a book here by Derek Prince, Purposes of Pentecost by Derek Prince, and it said here, Derek says, today, in many places, the conduct and experience of professing Christians are very different. This applies even to many groups of Christians who have a genuine experience of the new birth. They meet regularly in a church building for worship. They lead decent, respectable lives. They cause no trouble. They provoke no riots. They arouse no opposition. But alas, they make no impact. In the community all around them, ignorance and indifference concerning spiritual things prevail, unchanged and unchallenged. The vast majority of their neighbors neither know nor care what these Christians believe or why they attend church. What is lacking? The answer lies in one word, power. The explosive dynamite of the Holy Spirit has been left out of these Christian lives, and nothing else can take its place. The Christian church as a whole needs to face up to the challenge of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Once again, the Greek word which Paul uses here is dunamis, dynamite, explosive power. It is not a question merely of words which we speak, but of the power which makes these words effective. The key to this spiritual power is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For this, there is no substitute. Well, that ends the quote from Derek Prince, but I think God wants us to have power for the reasons that he just outlined. God wants us to have power. That was the purpose and primary reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit, is to advocate for us and to instruct us into the truth in all things, but also just give us power in our daily walk, not only to defeat the enemy, but to spread the news of the gospel, and not only to defeat strongholds in our lives and pray over people that have strongholds, but to release the power of God in our life, that same resurrection power. Paul tells us in Romans 8, that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken us. And when it quickens you, it kind of does what I talked about a little bit ago in expectation and in anticipation. Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit which indwells you. So God wants you to have life. He wants you to have a quickened spirit so you don't live your life in futility and frustration and apathy. He wants you to live a life of anticipation and expectation, and with a quickened spirit in you, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit that followed Jesus and accounted for all the miracles and the signs and wonders that followed his ministry, that same spirit will quicken you, quicken your mortal body, and you will do amazing things in the name of Jesus. You will bring glory to God in the name of Jesus. And so that power, that dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come on you, Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth, even Norton, Kansas, here 2,000 years later after Jesus spoke these words. And so to be a witness for the gospel means you may have to step out of your comfort zone. To be a witness for the gospel means you may have to proceed boldly in a place where you would rather just shrink back. It means that God might even call you to go to another country. He might call you to go and witness among people that you don't know. He may call you to go and be a witness to a country of people that are maybe even hostile to the message of the gospel, and hostile to the message of the cross and Jesus' death on the cross. And so God will call you in ways maybe that you're not prepared to do, but that Holy Spirit in you will give you the power to do that. In your own flesh, you may not be able to. In your own flesh, you probably can't do it. But the power that comes from the Holy Spirit will allow you to move in ways that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do it. And so Jesus said, you shall be my witness. And so that is the most important thing of the Holy Spirit. The most important aspect is that God imbues you with his Spirit, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, which is the mind and the counsel of God. And that Spirit encourages you to speak up about your relationship with Jesus Christ. That Spirit encourages you to tell other people about the good news. And isn't it good news? It's great news when we have turned from our wicked ways. It's great news when we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we can look at that old person that we once were. We can look at that old person that maybe was a person dedicated to the flesh and carnal desires and selfish desires, and we can look at that old person and say, "Woo, man, that was a pretty selfish and crude, carnal person." And yet the new person that is in me, that Spirit of God that is in me, has allowed me to walk in righteousness, in holiness, and has allowed me to become a person that I couldn't be without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so And after these things, verse 9, we're looking back here at Acts 1. After these things, Jesus was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of God, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. And so we have the instruction from the angel that says Jesus is going to come back just as he left this time. He will go quickly, and he will come back quickly with a shout, with the trumpet shall sound, and he will come back quickly and receive his church unto himself. Well, if you turn over to the second chapter of Acts, here's where it all happened. They had to wait 10 days after that precious time when they had with Jesus, when he gave them the final instruction. They had to wait 10 days. And here it all happens in the second chapter of Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. So that is 50 days after the resurrection, 50 days after the time of Jesus' death on the cross. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And so that promise that Jesus made, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, that promise that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power, it happened 10 days after he spoke to them. It happened just as he said it would, as God's promises are always true. God's promises are always faithful, and God will give you that which you desire. And the Holy Spirit does never come in a way to override our own will. It does never come in a way to put us in bondage. It does never come in a way that we're not asking for it, because God is a very polite God, and he gives us what we want. He gives us what we seek for. And if you have no desire for these things, for a closer walk with the Lord, if you have no desire for the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, God will not force it on you. He may convict you that you need it, but he will not force it on you until you ask him for it. And if you're in a place today, brothers and sisters, where you don't know the Lord, where you've not received the gift of the Holy Spirit by making a decision to follow the Lord in your life, you need to do that this day. You need to do that. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and into your life so that you can receive that power that those disciples received there in the second chapter of Acts, that fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to pray for you today. And if you're in a place where you need to receive that, just close your eyes and open up your heart and open up your hands and just let God pour it into you. Lord, I just pray for any believers or any non-believers out there today who need your power, Lord. I ask you to come into their life, touch their heart, Lord. Just set them afire with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Set them afire this day. And Lord, we thank you for that. And for any believers out there, I ask you, Lord, to baptize them with more power, more fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just to come into their hearts and lives and explode in them, to give them that dunamis, that explosive power, and that all could be witnesses, that they could all be witnesses of your gospel, all be witnesses of your truth. And the mighty God that you are, witnesses to their neighbors, to their family, to their friends, maybe even to the remotest parts of the earth, other countries. And we praise your mighty name for this, Lord, that you are faithful and true to your promises. And we praise your mighty name. We give you all the glory that you're due. We pray it in your precious holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope you prayed that prayer. I hope you asked Jesus to come into your life and the Holy Spirit to come in and saturate you. If you did, get in touch with me through my website. Let me know what great things are going on in your life. Thank you for listening today. God bless you.